activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast. Brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This Earth of yours will be reduced to a burned-out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
It's Thursday, October 3rd, 2013, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion number 84 from Waterloo, Iowa. I'm Dave Colson Nelson. Joining me this evening from Wausau, Wisconsin is Brad Fitz Ludwig and Anessa Simmons Moyens from Denton, Texas. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Doing good. How are you?
I was slightly agitated before, but I think I've worked it off.
Yeah.
He's vented a bit and he's cool now.
If only we were recording the pre-show, that would have made for a great podcast.
An incredibly blue opening.
Yeah.
You haven't put in like an out of context non sequitur opening for the show lately. I've noticed that. It makes me sad.
Oh, what do you mean? Oh, you mean the post production. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, because once in a while I'll find a bit of audio that I think is funny, and I'll put it at the very front of the show. It's like a tease of things to come, you know?
Or sometimes it's pre-show audio, which,
yeah.
Again, it's probably good you didn't pull any of the pre-show audio.
Yeah. I was going to say, because if they were to eventually hear it at some point.
Well, some creative editing and some beeping out, that might work. It might work. So we'll see what we have this week. Now, yeah. Going back to my intro, you guys, I'm sure, picked up on the names, right?
Gee, I wonder where it could be from.
Heck yeah.
That's
Agents
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah. I'm proud to be Agent Coulson.
As well you should.
Yeah. Do you guys see the episode this week?
Yes.
All except for the last 10 minutes.
And that's the best part!
Well, I got a phone call.
Did your mother call?
No, it was you.
Oh,
way to go, Brad.
Guy. He owes me $20. You shouldn't talk to him. He's a jerk.
Apparently, he wouldn't let me see the last 10 minutes of No Shield.
Anessa,
seriously, if that ever happens again, you say, "Honey, you need to get the heck off the phone. I need to finish watching this."
Like 10 minutes left.
It's Agents of Shield. I apologize, and then I would hang up.
And I'm really I'm surprised that you actually called her during Agents of Shield, Brad.
It wasn't during because
it was,
I don't have.
We
cable.
Were time shifting.
Oh, okay. Got
so.
It.
I was watching it on Hulu, and he called. So I'm like, pause. And I'm like, I'll just turn it off and watch it later. So I haven't seen the last 10 minutes, so no spoilers.
Okay. All right. It's awesome, though. Let's leave it at that. It's awesome. All right. So this is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life. The show is divided into three sections: the news, the creature feature, that is the spotlight of a certain kind of alien, and our picks for the week. For the audio subscribers, you can watch us do the show live every Thursday. Follow us on our social networks, and we'll let you know when that's going to be. The live page, by the way, is galacticnetcasts.com/live. And you can also go to, after the fact, go to youtube.com/galacticnetcast and watch it there. So, are you two ready to go?
Yes.
Yes.
In the news,
Bradley, you've got story number one.
I do? Oh, I do. So, David Moffat.
David.
See, I've got David on the brain.
That's Stephen's little brother. It's not
Steven.
Quite.
So there's this guy named Steven Moffat. Maybe you've heard of him. He is the showrunner for Doctor Who, and he recently did an interview where he said he's probably done writing about the Weeping Angels.
That makes me cry. Want to cry.
Does it make you want to weep?
Yes.
Openly, bitter tears. You know, and I got to say, there was an episode with the Weeping Angels where I kind of went, eh.
Yeah.
I'm
okay if he's done with using them. So.
And he brings up a good point. You know, if somebody else has a good idea, if it's good enough for an episode, if it's somebody else's idea, then fine.
Yeah. But right. It sounds like he personally is done. He was interviewed by Nerd Cubed. And he said, there's only so many times you can think, right, it's a chase scene and statues. How many times can the lights flicker? What happens if Moth sees them? Is the alien invasion canceled at that point? And those are very good points because people do ask questions about that. And I got to say, the last episode with the Pons in Season 7 where the Statue of Liberty is actually a weeping angel statue was, I remember him being interviewed saying, you know, somebody had mentioned that, and I thought that was the greatest idea ever. So we had to do it. And it was just so awesome. I'm glad he did it. He also mentioned that another Doctor Who writer actually pitched him an idea for a new story starring the angels. And he said, it's not going to happen, but a very good Doctor Who writer pitched a great idea for the Weeping Angels the other day, and I was very excited about it. We had a long phone call about it, and I went away thinking, that is going to be brilliant. And about 2 days later, he admitted he wasn't going to have time to do it. So hopefully we'll get to it in the next year. So probably not going to see any Weeping Angel stories for Season 8, but perhaps Season 9.
Awesome. I was curious. What is you guys' is that proper English? Is that proper grammar? Okay.
You guys is you. What is your?
Use guys. What is use
hey,
guys?
Use guys.
Favorite.
You can use the royal we here. That's fine.
What is your favorite alien on Doctor Who, past and present? Running the whole gamut. What's your favorite Doctor Who alien?
I really don't know.
If you were to take out all the other Weeping Angel stories, I would go with the Weeping Angels, the first one with David Tennant.
Yeah.
It was such an amazing idea that these beings took years away from your life, essentially, and displaced you in time. And so they killed you sort of nicely, in a way. They moved you back in time, and they took that time, that potential that you had, and that's what they fed off of. But that whole episode was a complete and utter lark. You know, that David Tennant wasn't entirely available to do a shoot for something was going on, and they ended up just going, well, I got this idea, let's do this.
It was a good workaround, that's for sure.
It absolutely was. And it was a brilliant way to kind of answer questions about time travel in a way. 'Cause all the different DVDs had the same conversation, the same half of a conversation that the Doctor is having, and he's looking at a piece of paper. You don't realize it right away, but he's actually answering these questions because somebody else wrote them. But it's not until we see it that this girl is asking questions and the Doctor is answering them. They're having this completely displaced, disjointed conversation at different places in time. And we as the viewer get to see the whole thing. And it's really, really brilliantly crafted.
Moffat wrote that too, right?
Yes, I believe he did.
Most times he can just be brilliant. Once in a while, he'll strike out, but for the most part, 8 out of 10 stories, he's really good.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I was just thinking too that, you know, every debut of a new alien, either on Doctor Who, Star Trek, wherever, that debut episode's always the best one. Like, well, I was going to say the Borg, but I think Best of Both Worlds Part 1 was better than Q Who, and that was the second time the Borg were introduced, or there was a Borg episode. So, Anessa, what's your favorite Doctor Who alien?
I don't know.
There's just too many.
There are a lot of Doctor Who aliens. I kind of like the Centaurans, but mainly because of Strax.
Yes. He's awesome.
And just like his lines and stuff, like, and having the hardest time telling the difference between male and female humans and getting the terms wrong and
calling kids small humans.
Yes. So, and I think that might be why, like, just Centaurans, that they look like potato heads. And I think it's really funny that you can just, like, knock them out with hitting them, like, in a certain spot in the back of their head.
That's that breathing port in the back of the neck.
They act tough.
They certainly do act tough. Yeah.
It's like a short person being the toughest guy in the room because he's making up for, you know, height.
The big space potato.
Yeah, I like the Ood.
I do like the Ood too.
Especially in that vignette, the web vignette leading up to season 6, I think, or season 6.5, whatever it was, when it was stories of Rory and Amy coming
back. Oh, okay.
Whenever they come back, or they were at home. And
And there's an Ood in the loo.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So, Brad, what were you researching just now?
Stephen Moffat did write that episode.
Okay.
He created the Weeping Angels.
All right. Hey, I found out today that my apartment manager is a big Doctor Who fan.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
I was in the office and I saw her wallpaper on her computer. There's a TARDIS on her wallpaper. So I thought, you know, I asked her, do you like Doctor Who? She's like, yes, I do. Like, every Doctor Who fan is just passionate about the show. Yes, I love Doctor Who.
Yeah, I had a student come in a couple weeks ago, and I have a little Captain America bobblehead on my desk. She's like, oh, that's awesome. And then she saw the TARDIS, and she got, like, super excited. She's like, you are my new favorite person right now.
See?
And she had, like, a little plush TARDIS. I'm like, yeah, I've got that one, too. Because I had printed out a little template of a TARDIS, and then you, like, fold it and whatnot into the shape of a TARDIS. And so I did that, but it was starting to come unfolded. I need to fix it. But, yeah, it's just really funny. Friends of mine are starting to get into Doctor Who more and more.
It's becoming more and more mainstream, definitely.
It is. Yeah. And it's like when you go to cons, there's so much Doctor Who cosplay. Daleks, TARDISes, and Tennant, Smith, and Baker Doctors.
Yep. I'm pretty sure that this is the biggest that Doctor Who's been in the States.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're supposed to have, I guess it's not really a con, but it's con-esque, in November here in the DFW area, where it's just a bunch of Doctor Who fans get together and celebrate, like, the 50th anniversary.
Wow. Are you thinking about going?
It depends on when in November it is. So, yeah, I'm already going to Dallas Comic Con's Fan Days this Saturday. So.
Wow, you're so lucky.
I'm excited, but I think it might be like my last con for a while. So,
okay,
yeah,
you gotta take
like I've seen a lot of the people that I want to see at this point. Because at this one, I'm mainly going because Jamie Bamber and Katie Sackhoff's gonna be there. So that's
Apollo
the main
and Starbuck.
I'm going.
Yes.
Battlestar, yes. And John Barrowman's supposed to be there, but his panel's not until Sunday, and I'm not paying for 2 days, so I'll miss out on him.
All right. And that concludes Con Update with Anessa Lyons.
Expect an update next week of the podcast.
Yes. Don't definitely. I would love an update. Definitely.
Look at all the pictures I took of people in costume.
All right. So that does it for, that does it, right? There's nothing really more we should say about this. Okay. Moving on to story number two is mine. I have a question for you guys. Have you ever heard of Mr. Skygak?
I have
not. I've heard of Gary Gygax, but that's completely different.
Yeah, totally, totally different because Mr. Skygak is animated. He's a drawn character and what could be the first alien character ever in comics. Now, here's a little backstory of Mr. Skygak. He was a Martian who came to Earth on a meteorite and was first published in the Chicago Day Book in 1907. This is way back in the day. And apparently, the Chicago Day Book was a one-cent periodical. Not a periodical, but it was a one-cent like newspaper or like pulp magazine type thing. And it was sort of... Here, I'll put your screen up there, Brad. It was... So if you're watching the video, the example of the comic is up on the screen right now. But apparently this periodic or this publication was used for communist propaganda because communism was a huge deal like in the early 20th century.
Yep.
Like all over the place. I'm looking at somebody just posted a comment on this on our hangout right now. I think aliens probed my blank. Do you guys see it? Do you guys have that app up in the hangout?
No, I just opened it right now.
Okay.
They think aliens probed their bum.
Okay. So staff cartoonist A.D. Kondo created the character in part because it gave him a chance to comment on the social norms of the day. So basically what Star Trek used or what the Star Trek theory of the original series and every franchise afterwards, you know, it's okay to talk about these issues as long as it's, you know, it's more acceptable or more digestible if it's put in different contexts. So it's kind of the same deal here. Mr. Skygak, we learn, was the son of Professor... Ooh, we lost Anessa. Professor Solomon Gygak, professor of astronomy at the University of Mars, with his colleagues, Professors Jim Gak and Jack Gak. Professor Skygak sent Mr. Skygak to our planet to study the ways of the Earth beings. The Day Book, which was a communist publication, came to an end in 1917, and Mr. Skygak perished with it. Oh. Is there any more? Is there any more to see there, Brad?
Yep, here's another one where he's observing a garbage collection.
Okay. What does he look like? I can't tell what he looks like. He looks like a ear of corn. Oh, there he is.
He's got big... Imagine like the old circular eyeglasses, very large. That's what his eyes look like. And his head kind of looks like a potato with bristles, like brush bristles sticking out of it.
Very short hairs.
Kiwi for a head.
Has no neck to speak of. And his nose just sort of, because he has no neck, he's wearing a shirt that, you know, it just sort of covers his nose, but you can't see his mouth or anything. It's just eyes, a potato head with bristles sticking out, short bristles, and no neck and a roundish nose.
Just think of the creativity that this A.D. Kondo had to have to create a character like this way before anybody else. I mean, who was thinking about aliens on Mars back then? You know, not many. Not many.
I'm trying to think.
1907. That's way before a lot of stuff. When did Superman? When was Superman first published? 1920s.
1938.
Okay.
Wow, I just like knew that.
I know. Well, Mr. Comic Collector. Did you know, and I only recently learned this, that what was the town, the city in Metropolis, right? Metropolis?
Yes.
Right?
Metropolis is based from Vancouver, not Vancouver, Toronto, not New York, because one of the guys, Schuster or the other guy, was from Canada originally. And that was that was the city that... that he knew best, the big city. He knew Toronto better than New York.
So, apparently, early works dealing with Mars fiction, I guess? Early works around 1910.
Okay.
Or before 1910, actually. You have Across the Zodiac, 1880, by Percy Gregg. Urani, 1889. Melbourne and Mars, My Mysterious Life on the Two Planets, 1889 by Joseph Frazier. Yeah, there's actually several that go up into the 1900s.
It's still kind of early on, though. I mean, science...
Yeah, it's still early, but there's a surprising amount, at least that they've been able to document in the late 1800s.
When was John Carter, when was that published? It's around that same time, right?
Princess of Mars was in the 20s, I think. Hang on. Oh, I take that back. A Princess of Mars and another 10 Mars stories ran from 1912 to 1943.
Okay.
Because they were essentially chapters in these little...
it's part of another publication.
Magazines.
Yeah, magazines.
Another publication. So when you read them, they all kind of end on a cliffhanger for each chapter.
Yeah.
So people keep wanting to read the story.
Yeah.
A serial.
A serial,
there you go.
What a neat time to live in. Because there was no, well, at this time, there was no radio, really. There was no TV, far from TV. Movies were there, but I'm sure not everybody got a chance to go see them. So all this stuff was in print, you know, all these great stories that you could buy for like a nickel, you know.
But you still had to have the nickel. A nickel wasn't exactly cheap back then.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
It's like you could go to the movie and get some popcorn and a soda for a nickel.
but
it but was getting that nickel.
40-hour work day, work week to get that nickel.
Yeah.
I've had to hear these stories quite a bit.
Back in my day.
Yeah. So the stories that you're referring to are the stories that Brad told to you? Is that?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Right.
No. My dad was born in like 1932.
Oh, okay. Because Brad's old, too.
Yep.
Oh,
says the man who's older.
Shut up.
Mwah, 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 mwah.
All right, so Mr. Skygak, interesting piece of history I did not know about, and I'm sure that you guys didn't either.
Nope.
I did not.
So there you go. Let's move on to story number three. But before we do, we would love your thoughts on anything that we've talked about on this show or on previous episodes of The Alien Invasion. Leave us feedback, please. Our email address, I almost said email number. No, it's not a number. Email address is galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. Galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. We also have a voicemail number or text number. You can use it for both, either. 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Jason called us this week. We'll be playing the message from him later on.
Yay!
As well.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep. So please leave us feedback. We want to hear from you, positive or negative. Anything would be nice. Okay.
If you believe that aliens probed your stuff, you could.
Yes.
No.
Rick Grimes, if that's really your name in the chat.
Mr.
Like, totally.
Sugar Bear, Shanghai.
We see your Google profile.
Yeah.
So, totally unrelated topic, but today I got an email at work with three images taken in New Mexico, and the guy was wondering if what was in his images were like UFOs, and I like never get to see these because we always end up getting a bunch of pictures like, I think this rock is from space, and you're like, it's sandstone, it's like all the other rocks around you. So, but anyway, I don't have the pictures.
That's, you know, that's awesome though, Anessa, because you're, that's a real life encounter with something that we talk about every week, you know?
And I'm trying to think of the name of the place in New Mexico, but apparently, it's something Mesa. But apparently there's rumors that there's like this underground base or something where there's aliens and whatnot. Think like Area 51-ish in a way.
One of our creature feature this week has something to do with that.
From the Mesa place in New Mexico?
Well, around
or
that.
Or 51.
Around that area, yeah.
Yeah, because there's a... I really wish I remember the name of the Mesa, but looking at the images, because the guy's like, I don't know what this is, and there's always like these weird sightings, but they didn't really see it until they developed the pictures, which apparently it's film, is what they're using as their medium, and which is kind of nice. Yeah. It's refreshing. But my boss and I came to the conclusion that it was lens flare.
Damn it.
Which is a shame, but it's a unique shape of lens flare, but looking at the angle of the sunlight and the shadows and the flare, it's lens flare.
That's upsetting.
I know, but I'm like, you know, if you come across anything else, feel free to email us because I like stuff like
this. And we'll talk about it on the Alien Invasion podcast.
So I'll see at some point if I can log in and pull up a couple of the images that don't show the guy's face, but... Yeah, it was really, really interesting.
Hey,
but my story.
Anessa, before you get into your story and before I forget to play this, you put together a musical number based on some sound bites from the show.
Right. You sent me a couple of files, and I've had them for like a good month or two. And I was finally bored enough one day where I grabbed the iPad and just used the loops that you find in GarageBand. And
yeah. Okay.
That's around.
This is the world premiere. Do you have, and this is called Hap P. So, ladies and gentlemen, Anessa Moyens and the new song, the new hit single, Hap P. So, here we go.
Here go, Pete.
Ooh, Angel Soft Butt Wipe. $5.
A lot. I go pee a lot.
Butt wipe. $5.
So that was marvelous. I was laughing so hard the first time I heard that. And I really think it deserves a sequel or an update. A follow-up? Follow-up.
A follow-up. Well, yeah. I'm going to need some more of those clips that you keep saving. Dude.
Well, okay. So how about this?
From your rectum.
Otherwise, I'm just going to be using like the same two clips, and I'm sure people want to hear more than that.
Okay, here's one. Another one.
And whack off.
And then it's all that's the problem. It's all
it's
Brad.
All Brad.
Yeah. So we're gonna have to. I
seem to say a lot of crazy crap on this show.
I'll have to pour through the audio
from your rectum.
Okay. All right. Now let's wrap up the news with the final story. Vanessa, what do you got?
There is no final story, Kitty. Well, if you were hoping that if there was ever an alien invasion and you wanted help from other countries, you can pretty much mark Russia off the list of countries that could help you.
Damn, I was depending on Russia. I was hoping on the Russian people.
Yeah, apparently they are not capable of defending against an alien attack. So, boo.
Yeah, boo boo.
A Russian official admitted on Wednesday, October 2nd, that his country is ill-equipped to defend against an extraterrestrial attack. The Aerospace Defense Forces, formerly known as the Russian Space Forces, is responsible for air and space defense. And one of its specific tasks is monitoring space objects and identification of potential threats to the Russian Federation in space and from space, prevention of attacks as needed. But these space troops are apparently not ready if the prevention of an attack from extraterrestrial forces is needed. While speaking at a media conference, a journalist asked Sergei Bereznoy...
Sergei.
Huh?
Sergei.
Sergei, Bereznoy, an aide to the head of the Titov Main Test and Space Systems Control Center, about defending against an extraterrestrial invasion. Bereznoy responded, "So far, we are not capable of that. We are unfortunately not ready to fight extraterrestrial civilizations," he explained. "Our center was not tasked with it. There are too many problems on Earth and near it."
Well, that's what you get for consolidating. Because they had the Russian space forces, and then they combined with like two other agencies and made this new group. So they're not...
I'm guessing a lot of it had to do with budgeting issues, because they're not exactly the wealthiest of countries to begin with.
Yeah. Well, their problem is their country is huge, you know? It's a lot of territory in Russia.
Yeah, land-wise, it's very, very large.
Yeah. I just love the Russian space forces, you know? It's a badass...
I like their emblem for the Russian Aerospace Defense Forces. So if you're seeing the video right now, you can see this wonderful crest that they have. It's very regal, just like, you know, vines and leaves, and then there's a whole winged crest on top of it with a sword and like peace laurel, it looks like, or some sort of thing. And then inside of it is a craptastic 80s throwback that looks like a really kind of a junky airline, like, you know, American Airways or something. Like, like an old Pan Am logo.
No, you know what it looks like? It looks like that. What's that gas company? Shell, not Shell. Standard?
Sinclair.
No.
That's not the dinosaur.
Standard dinosaur. Standard Oil. It's not around anymore, but that looks like their old logo.
Tell us about Standard Oil, Dave.
Well, in my day,
back in my day, so as I was saying.
Yeah, their symbol is very phallic looking. Okay.
No. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad. Yeah. All right.
I actually wasn't getting that from the symbol.
The penis is right here.
Yeah, it is an oddly shaped penis, I have to say. If it is.
Oh, that's probably why I wasn't seeing it. Yeah. I've never seen one shaped like that before.
Yeah. And thank God you haven't seen
one. There we go.
Yeah.
And of all the people, like, I should be the perverted one going, ha ha, it's phallic.
And I've noticed that you haven't thrown in balls yet this episode.
Not yet.
Yeah, Anessa seems to always, either on purpose or just it's coincidence, that she throws in the word balls in each episode.
Yeah, I think it's starting to just become second nature that it comes out at some point.
Yeah.
That's what she said?
It is what she said.
All right, so basically Russians are not ready for alien invasion. Probably America's not either. We can't even keep our own government open, so
no.
Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, we're hosed.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, it's been nice knowing y'all. Yeah.
Aliens, come get us. We're ready for your... I'm ready for my overlords, my alien overlords.
Bam.
Forget about my close-up, Mr. DeMille. Bring on the aliens.
All right. Hey, we want to thank Audible.com for their support of the Alien Invasion podcast. Audible is this website where you go to. You pay a membership. Actually, you get a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out this awesome service. If you like reading books but you don't have time, you're on the go, you're in the car, you're working out, you're chasing the kids around, you know, you got a lot of downtime between those places, this is a great service because it's an app that you put on your phone and then you listen to books. You listen to books. And like I said, a free 30-day trial and one free download. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we always recommend a book that kind of goes along with the theme of this podcast. And this week it is The Draco Tavern by Larry Niven. Science fiction great Larry Niven. And here is a brief synopsis of it. When a tremendous spacecraft takes orbit around Earth's moon and begins sending smaller landers down toward the North Pole. The newly arrived visitors quickly set up a permanent spaceport in Siberia. Their presence attracts many, including Rick Schumann, who establishes a tavern catering to all various species of visiting aliens, a place he calls the Draco Tavern. And this is basically a collection of stories. The book contains 27 tales and vignettes from his interstellar gathering place. So again, check out the Draco Tavern by Larry Niven for free, or one of your choosing by going to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And again, we thank them for their support of the Alien Invasion podcast.
Hey, I found pictures.
Oh, cool.
Well, two of the pictures. Hang on. Let's see. What? So I don't know how well you guys can see the picture.
I can't see it at all right now. I see
you. You read?
Yeah, I can see it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Let me put it back up then. Somewhere.
Yeah, it looked like lens flare.
Yeah, it definitely looks like lens flare. And then the other one you see right up here, it's pinkish in color. There's like a little rocking curve shape thing, and then it's kind of reminds me of like an hourglass shape. But
what we're seeing is your face right now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
You wanna need to click it again.
Apparently.
Yeah, a very a concentrated look at
your
face.
There we go.
All right. So yeah, we've got basically lens flare, and it goes with the shadows.
Yep, it is.
But
it tried.
He tried. Yeah. It's very unique in shape because I'm used to seeing very circular lens flares, and this one, kind of.
It looks like a vortex.
Actually, it looks like somebody took a big baseball and put a parachute on it.
Yeah.
Like, threw it straight up in the air.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a very interesting shaped lens flare, but yeah, my first thought was a lens flare, and when my boss looked at it, he's like, yeah, that's a lens flare. I'm like, okay, I'm just making sure that, you know, I'm not just making crap up. So, yep.
Cool. All right, let's move on. Thank you, Anessa. Let's move on to...
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
All right. All right, I picked the Creature Feature this week, and it's not one, not two, not three, but four different aliens.
What the hell you say?
I know. Crazy, eh?
Yes.
Haven't we talked about them before?
Well,
some of them?
Some of them, but I kind of put them all under one category. They're hybrids. Different types of hybrids. What a hybrid is basically crossbreeding between different species of humans and aliens. So it can be a cross between one alien and another, or an alien and the human species. And they're classified into different groups. And here are the groups. Human-gray hybrids. Reptilian-gray hybrid. That'd be two different aliens. Human-reptilian hybrid, a.k.a. chameleons. Those are the guys that are supposedly in the president's secret service guarding the president.
Heck yeah.
And the oranges.
Oranges?
I like oranges.
Are they angry?
Are they annoying oranges?
Or, yeah. I mean, annoying. That's what I meant. Damn it. I messed it up. I messed up the joke.
We still like you, Dave.
Thanks. So let's talk about the characteristics of each of these. The human gray hybrids are the result of selective breeding between the gray extraterrestrials and humans. The grays remove ova and sperm from humans and combined gray DNA with the DNA from these human samples to create the hybrids. The reason why hybrids are created by the grays were vary among researchers. Here is what they think. To create a superior race, combining the best aspects of humans and gray traits. To save the grays from extermination due to excessive use of cloning, or to save us by transplanting the human species to faraway planets because our society is on a path towards self-destruction. Which option do you guys like the most?
Like the most? You know, if I were to pick a more, the most tragic of stories, it would be extermination due to excessive use of cloning.
Yeah, I was thinking that yeah. sounds the most legitimate of all those.
The other one just sounds like they're Nazis to create a superior race.
It really yeah. does. Yeah. That was what I was thinking the entire time. Yeah.
It's like, are they Nazis?
Yeah.
Were we really fighting the Greys in World War II?
Oh, wait a second. You just blew my mind, Anessa. All right, so the next hybrid is Reptilian Gray. Their height is about 4 to 5 feet. They share the same basic physical construct as a gray entity and are usually seen wearing a one-piece suit that is the same color as their skin. That's kind of confusing.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're just hiding. Well, you have to cover up.
Yeah. But that's not a very good fashion choice, though.
No. Although, like, reptilian gray kind of sounds like a color.
It totally does.
Burnt like, sienna, reptilian gray.
I'm thinking about painting my walls this spring, and I really like that new reptilian gray color. I'll go to Sherwin-Williams, and they'll mix it up for me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Looking for reptilian gray.
They have oversized craniums, greenish tan skin, large almond-shaped eyes with pupils, Brad.
What?
I know that freaks you out.
That totally creeps you. Do they have irises or just pupils?
I lied. They don't.
What?
I was just trying to freak you out.
Oh, dude, that's just rude.
that rhymes.
Let's see what
it
else.
It does. I'm a poet, and I totally know it.
Anyways, that's the reptilian gray hybrid. The next one is human reptilian, a.k.a. the chameleons, often described as appearing bulge-eyed. What's the deal with eyes with alien species? Why do they always have to be so big? Can't we have an alien with just the tiniest of eyes, like pinpoint?
I think that would be even creepier than like the oversized eyes, like tiny little eyes.
Yeah, just like little.
You have something like the shape of our head, but it's like, bump,
yeah.
bump. I mean, that would just be really creepy.
That would be. Or like just a slit, you know? Just to like,
that would
you
be
can't even see the eyes.
Well.
Yeah.
That would explain why they would be wearing sunglasses the entire time that they're trying to blend in with everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks that this poor alien is a douche by wearing his sunglasses indoors. But he just doesn't want to freak anybody out. He's a courteous alien.
Hey, slit eyes, come over here. What is that, Brad? Somebody trying to...
That was my phone.
Okay, all right.
Sorry.
Next time I'm going to play the same thing they play at the beginning of movies. Turn off your cell phones.
All of a sudden, somebody's having a group conversation, and I got pulled into it here.
Oh, okay.
I have turned off the speaker on my phone, so...
All right.
Sorry about that.
Damn you. It's okay. Okay, so chameleons can appear remarkably human outwardly, however, at the same time retaining reptilian or neo-saurian internal organs. They have 5-digit fingers as opposed to 3 or 4 and display external genitalia. I don't know why they had to include that. External genitalia.
Well, because in some of the descriptions of the grays, there's like, there's no noticeable genitalia, like, externally. And so I guess they have to, like, specify that yes, you're gonna see balls on the males.
And there it is, ladies.
You went out of your way. You went out of your way, Anessa, to do that, didn't you?
I gave it a good effort.
You had a plan. Just like,
much like the Cylons.
Just Cylons. Yep. All right. So they are reportedly involved in some type of infiltration agenda as an advanced guard of a silent invasion takeover of human society. Does that scare you?
Maybe it turned me on a little bit. Just kidding. No, it's very creepy.
All right.
No.
Well, honestly, actually, I don't know which would be worse. Like, a very noticeable grand scale invasion, like you know it's happening, or something that you're completely clueless about until it's too late.
Yeah, I think I would pick the latter, because you don't know what's going on until it's too late.
Like ignorance is bliss.
Yeah, exactly.
So at least you kind of lack that sense of dread, like, oh man, like we're going to fail. Because by the time you realize it, you're like, oh, well, what are you going
to
do?
But then you may be living your life and, you know, you won't have the chance to do that crazy thing that you probably would have been able to if you knew that the aliens were attacking. It's like, screw it, I'm going to do this one crazy-ass thing now that we're pretty much dead.
Yeah, but you're not going to know. And that kind of goes to the whole what if situation, and like, why don't you just do it anyway, regardless of the whether or not the Earth is being invaded?
Carpe diem.
So,
all right.
Seize the day.
All right. So the last hybrid are called oranges. They look like humans, with the exception of being tall and having stocky yellow, red, or orange hair. They are genetically altered humanoid reptiloid strain or hybrid. This is what I mentioned earlier. The ancient legends of the local Paiute Indians described a race of red-haired giants who were the enemies of many Indian tribes of the region. And that is it.
Where are the Paiute Indians from?
I think they're from down there in the southwest area of the United States, if I'm not mistaken.
No, actually.
No?
Actually, not.
They're in the Andes. Or no, I'm sorry. They're in the Great Basin area. So California, Idaho, Nevada, Oregon.
Idaho?
There's the southern Paiute of Arizona. And southeastern California, Nevada, Utah.
Okay.
So there's the northern Paiute, the Owens Valley Paiute, and the southern Paiute.
Oh, I hate the Owens Valley Paiutes.
Yeah, those frickin' people.
Yeah, I know.
What? They owe me $20.
So there you go. There you have it. That is this week's creature feature. We talked about hybrids. I think Brad is a hybrid of
awesomeness.
Sure.
I think you're...
I might be a little biased.
Biased.
Yeah.
So, Dave, speaking of wonderful things, tell us about Stitcher.
That is the most wonderful of things that ever was. That's still wrong. Anyways,
Stitcher is awesome, isn't it?
The most wonderful thing that you'll hear.
Okay, what it is, Stitcher, if you don't know what it is, it's a app. It's an application that you install onto your device. Say it's maybe a tablet, which I'm holding right here, or a phone, which I'm also holding right here. Anessa's holding one as well. It's an iPhone, right?
Yes.
You can also put Stitcher. You can get a Stitcher-like add-on to your browser, right?
Yes.
It's available in some cars, some of the fancier cars that have like all fancy stuff in them.
Not my car.
All of a sudden, I can't think. I'm not doing this read very well.
Oh, goodness.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can listen to those newfangled horseless carriages.
Okay. Stitcher app. Get it at stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts. And we have a promo code for you. It's galacticnetcasts. So, again, Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcasts, and then enter the promo code GalacticNetcasts, and that shows that we are sending people their way to Stitcher. They'll notice it and give us a gold star and maybe some money as well.
A hearty handshake.
Yes.
Is it too late for me to go through and put that I...
cancel your...
Is it too late to enter the promo code?
Probably, yeah, but maybe you could uninstall... And then reinstall.
Close your account.
Yeah, close
and then
your
open
account.
A new account.
Yeah.
But it's got my log of how many hours I've listened.
I know. I've got over 51 hours now of listening.
Wow.
I've got 23 hours and 35 minutes.
You guys are freaks.
Yeah, pretty much.
But we like that. We like freakish behavior, especially when it comes to listening to our shows. There are our shows on Stitcher. There are other podcasts. Almost any podcast that you can think of, the big ones at least, you'll be able to find on Stitcher Smart Radio. You can listen to them streaming, or you can download them if you're going to be in an area without some kind of internet connection. So you've got that
like
choice.
On a plane.
Yes, exactly.
So, like, you'll be in December, or yeah. Stephanie will be in December. Who's flying? I don't know who's flying.
I'm flying up to Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like, you or Stephanie or whoever's flying, I don't know.
And you're going to be on a plane shortly after that too, right?
I am.
In January?
No. Right after Christmas, okay. Essentially.
Okay.
I'm going to drive down to Del Rio, hang out for not quite a week, and then drive right back and then hop on a plane the next day. So I'll be traveling a lot.
Cool. So we both can be using our Stitcher apps. Listening to...
I just started listening to Welcome to Night Vale.
Me too.
What is that?
Ooh, it's... I find it really entertaining, but basically it's like this radio show, weekly radio show update thing where there's this guy named Cecil and he lives in a town called Night Vale. And there's all sorts of weird things that go on. Like they see UFOs, there's weird figures that they can't acknowledge or acknowledge that's there because then the mysterious figure thing will get mad and vaporize interns. There's houses that technically aren't supposed to exist, but they're there. There's just a lot of strange phenomenon going on in this community. And the podcast is like 20 minutes long-ish. And it's just this guy that's reading off different announcements and talking about local events and local news. And it's just so normal, like the way he talks about it, like very nonchalant, like, oh, you know. And
imagine it's a scripted show, but imagine it would be like local radio NPR.
Okay.
And it's all right. Community-based stuff.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm on board. What's it called?
Welcome to Night Vale.
Okay. Remind me later. So, I'm going to start listening to that.
Yeah. I am probably going to end up using an episode as part of my pick at some point.
Hey, no. Go for it.
So if not here, then in Time Traveling Robots in Space, because there's just all sorts of weird things that go on.
Yes.
Cool. And the guy, like, his voice, he kind of, like, drones on and on and on about it. It's very, like...
He's kind of a monotone voice, and
yeah.
It's just reporting local strange events that are going on, and the radio station has been around for a very long time. The people that own the radio station have been in the village or this Night Vale for a very, very long time, and they have interns, and it just seems like every episode... one of their interns
dies
mysteriously while reporting and gathering information for them.
Yeah, and it's great because they'll die, you know, like telling Cecil something. Yeah. And then he's like, I would like to, you know, apologize or send out my condolences to Leonard's family. He was a wonderful intern. And and it just happens like right then and there. And he just like reads through this standard spiel.
That's sweet.
On to the next intern.
Is it a weekly show or?
I think it updates twice a month, maybe.
Yeah. Okay. It's every couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay. And it's been going on, I think, for about a year and a half, 2 years now or so. And they're up to like 35 episodes.
The other interesting thing too is they have guest voices, so they'll do interviews. And in the most recent episode, they had Jackson Public and Urbanic, two people that do voices for the Venture Brothers.
Oh, cool.
So it's sort of kind of catching on, and they do live recordings in other places, so they actually do like a show where people can sit in the audience and listen to Cecil do his radio show.
That's awesome.
Just very, very God. Surreal, very, very interesting. And I didn't like it when I first heard it, and Anessa
yeah.
and I talked about it a little bit, and I gave it another chance, and I kind of enjoyed it, so I'm going to go back and start listening. And because there's a whole storyline as to what's going on, so I'm going to start at the beginning and catch back up.
Yeah, because I asked him, like, hey, have you listened to Welcome to Night Vale? He's like, oh, God, yes, I couldn't stand it.
I tried listening, and it just, I don't know, it was just, it wasn't resonating
for me,
with me.
It's a show that you just kind of want to chill and not do a whole lot while you're listening to it, because there's a lot of little things that's going on. Because I did try to listen to it while I was at work, and I'm like, no, this isn't happening. So.
And that's what I did. I was trying to listen to it while I was working and concentrating on something, and you just need to focus and pay attention, because you need to listen. Sometimes Cecil is telling you this story, and he doesn't seem to be piecing together things, but as you've...
Yeah, as you listen, then there's references back, and it comes right back to it, and it eventually comes together. And as you progress through the episodes, they make references to different objects or people that they've talked about in the past. So, like, the first couple of episodes or so, they focus on certain characters, main characters, I guess. And that way, like, as you progress, you're like, oh, yeah, I remember they talked about this scientist with perfect hair. So
it sounds like it would be a good podcast to listen to, like, on a road trip or something like that.
Yeah, it would be good to listen to on a road trip, or if you just, you know, want to chill for a bit before going to do something else and have, like, 20 minutes of your time, then, yeah, you should totally give it a listen.
Or to exercise.
It actually, because of this show, I've been working on refurbishing and an old radio. I told you about that. I picked up a free old, like, 1940s cabinet radio. I actually want to, and I've seen some information on how to actually put in something so you can, you know, play the internet through it. So what I want to do is put a small system in there to actually listen to Stitcher through the radio.
That's a major retrofit right there.
Yeah.
Actually, size-wise for equipment, not as bad as you'd think.
But thinking about the different technologies of what was in there as opposed to what's going in there.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for the recommendation. I'm going to have to check that out. And
that was like an kind extended commercial for Welcome to Night Vale.
Welcome to Night Vale. You should give it a shot.
Stitcher,
I definitely recommend it.
Stitcher.com.
If you like this show, you might want to check out Listen to Night Vale. It's a very eclectic and interesting show that does deal with the paranormal and aliens and things of that nature.
And a little bit of time travel.
Cool. Yeah. Stitcher.com/GalacticNetcast and enter the promo code GalacticNetcast. All right, let's wrap it up here. Time for picks. I know that I'm first on the list, but I think Brad should go first, so give me a little bit of time to think.
Okay, I will make this brief because we're kind of short on time. My pick was 80s hardcore sci-fi, a movie called Not of This Earth, which I believe was... Tracy Lord's first legitimate acting job since leaving the porn industry. She can actually kind of act.
Yeah, I've seen her before. She's not too bad.
She's not too bad. Yeah, well, but her acting level for what the movie was perfect.
Oh, well, then there you go.
It's not Shakespeare.
No.
Yeah, well, because I remember seeing her in Princess of Mars with what's his face, where John Carter has a tramp stamp.
Oh, yeah. We did that for Sci-Fi Film School.
We did that for Sci-Fi Film School, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, Not of This Earth is kind of a suspense 80s sci-fi movie that, you know, one thing it kind of reminded me of was the Phantasm horror movie, where you had this device that would actually could drill into somebody's head and remove their blood. That's blood is kind of the main focus of this. The main character is a creature who is not of this earth, who looks human but is not. And he has a disease that destroys blood, so he needs to have frequent blood transfusions to kind of keep him alive. And as the movie goes on, we find out more about where he's from, why he's there, and of course, there's plenty of 80s-based. During that time period, if you had a sci-fi 80s film, there had to be a lot of some woman's flesh.
Oh, of course.
To be seen. So you see a bit of Tracy Lords in a bikini and stuff like that, and then there's a stripogram that accidentally shows up and wackiness ensues.
Accidentally.
Well, she wasn't wearing her glasses, and she went to North whatever instead of, or she was supposed to go to North Grand, and she ended up on South Grand, and things did not end well for her. But anyways, not the best movie in the world, but it was for the genre, for the 80s sci-fi suspense sort of horror film. Not too bad.
I'm starting to really get into that genre because there's a bunch of those movies on Netflix.
Yes. And, you know, there was like, I think I said in the last episode or the last time we talked about that genre, that was a bunch of us would get together at my house in, you know, this is like 88, on Friday nights. And then we would, you know, rent Life Force or rent, a movie like Not of This Earth. I'm trying to think of other bad 80s films that we watched that were sci-fi.
Well, there was that one that both me and Anessa watched, and we made it for our picks. Like, I think I made it for a pick on Time Traveling Robots, and you had it as a pick on this show, that they went to Jupiter or Jupiter's moon or something like that, and they were...
Oh, yeah. Forbidden World. Shoot, it was so bad I can't even remember the name.
I don't remember it. Yeah. Oh, I don't remember the name.
But anyways.
My mind is like, no, you're done.
And, you know, we also, during that time period, we did watch Alien. So, I mean, we did grab some good sci-fi as well.
Yeah,
but,
that's the gold. That's the gold standard right there.
It is. It really is. So, if you want to... If you did not live during the 80s and you want to know what it was like, you need to rent this movie. I said rent this movie. What was I thinking? You need to go on Netflix and play this movie, stream it, or...
Or I have an even better option. You can go to our website on the front page at galacticnetcast.com. There is a banner for Amazon Instant Streaming. And
yes.
Sign up for Amazon Instant Streaming because they are offering a bigger, what do you call it, when somebody signs up through us, it's
bonus
commission
okay. For
the next month. We get more money than we would usually get for sending people to Amazon Instant. So I'm sure that this movie's got to be available through Amazon Instant. If not, we'll put a link up in our recommendation store. And you can buy the DVD for like $9.
Now, the last thing that I want to mention about this is, as I was watching the intro to the film, I had actually started to watch, and I stopped watching it because I realized it wasn't technically about aliens, but it was a movie called Forbidden World. And there were actually sequences, you know, there was a spaceship sequence that it was being attacked. Forbidden World that was shown in the beginning of Not of This Earth. And then there was also a scene from Galaxy of Terror, which is another 80s bad sci-fi movie, but that actually had Aaron Moran was in that film.
Hang on one second. I have a theory about all this. And my theory is...
Now, this was a Roger Corman film?
Yes. Roger Corman, he reuses his stuff all the time.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's one thing I didn't check to see if Roger Corman had worked on all those films. Galaxy of Terror is noted for, I think it's one of the only times that you could see Aaron Moran partially sort of naked.
Yeah.
And her fear was... insects and worms especially, and she gets humped to death by a worm. It was this huge worm. It's just really so off-putting. I remember seeing that and just having my jaw drop wide open going, oh my God, what am I watching? Ah.
Yeah, Anessa, another sci-fi film school podcast film. We did Galaxy of Terror too.
Yeah,
was that while I was there or before?
I'm pretty sure you were on the show, yeah.
Maybe I blocked that one out of my memory, too.
Or maybe you just missed one week or something like that. I don't know.
Galaxy of Terror.
Yeah, we've done quite a few Roger Corman films, actually.
So, anyways, if you're a fan of Roger Corman, you might want to give it a watch. It's not the best movie in the world, but it has interesting things that happen in it that are actually somewhat entertaining. I'd give it 2.5 stars out of 5. Two and a half stars.
That's pretty generous. I like your comment on our doc, on our Google
Docs. Reeks of the 80s. Yes, it does.
Sweet.
The prostitutes that they end up picking up because Mr. Johnson, the alien who is not of this earth, ends up picking up these three hookers, and they are dressed in 80s attire, and they've got the huge hair and speaking 80s type lingo.
Was one of them?
It's great.
Did one of the girls have hair that was like all like straight, standing up straight?
Yeah, in the front.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like excessive use of Aquanet.
Yes.
All right.
I actually knew a girl in high school who, God bless her, used so much hairspray in her hair. Somebody like accidentally tripped and fell and hit her hair, and it actually broke some of her hair.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
Holy crap. Holy shit.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Brad.
Good times. Good times.
Great pick. My pick is a short story, or not short story, short film.
I would have been surprised if it was a short story.
Yeah. Hey, I read.
Like, oh, that's my territory. I'm kidding.
No, short film. It's called Kill Shelter. And basically, it's about a man who wakes up in a facility controlled by aliens. And the first thing that I thought of was, this is basically like what it would be from the perspective of animals in our, like, you know, the ASPCA or the, you know, an animal shelter, basically. It'd be, you know, if humans were to replace animals, this is what it would be like, because he's all chained up and they're putting him, like, there's a killing machine that they put him in. They put the human in this machine, then they dial a few, you know, controls or whatever, and all you see is this poof, and just this black just so basically it's being destroyed from the inside.
All right.
But it's a very good short film. The actual special effects were really, really good for a short film. It's a higher quality short film. I'm sure this person that made this will go on to a career actually making full-length movies, if he hasn't already. This just may be a side project for somebody that, like, is the key grip on, you know, has enough experience on a regular set to put together their own movie. So I'd highly recommend it. It's called Kill Shelter, and I don't know why my link is all the way down here below Brad.
You actually put your information under me.
Oh.
So I moved it, but I didn't see that you had a YouTube link, so I apologize.
Okay. No, that's okay. That's okay. this is about 16 minutes in length, so it wouldn't take you very long to cruise through this. I was half paying attention when I watched it, because there's a lot of battle scenes, a lot of ray gun use in this film. In the short film, but good ray gun, not like bad noise and bad effects.
Pew pew pew.
Pew pew pew.
Yeah. Pew pew.
Pew.
So yeah, Kill Shelter. Check it out. It's short, 16 minutes. I think you'll like it if you are into a lot of gunfight and stuff like that. Oh! There's one scene before I let an asset take over. There's a scene where he has to take out like a tracker out of the back of his skull, basically. So he uses he breaks the sink that's in his cell and actually uses like a piece of the sink to actually dig into the back of his skull. Yeah.
Ow. Yeah.
You really have to want that. And my God, the infection you would get.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meningitis. I think I would gleefully just hop into the machine and have him flip the dials if I was going to get that.
That's a bad place to start the infection from. That close to the brain or the or the spine.
You're pretty much doomed.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Before you do your pick, Anessa, I have to mention I heard a story recently, or I saw the posting on one of my social networks about a new genre in romance novels. And I don't know if it's a genre, but it's one book that was out about women women having sex with dinosaurs.
Prehistoric bestiality romance
novel. Oh, wow.
I heard about that this morning, and I went, oh, my God.
I have not heard about this, and I could have lived happily never hearing about this.
Yeah.
Man.
So there you go. There's your preamble to your pick, Anessa.
To my pick. Oh, I was going to say we never actually did Galaxy of Terror. Oh,
okay.
For Sci-Fi Film School.
Oh.
Because I'm like, I don't remember that like at all. It does not sound familiar.
Maybe I watched it for something else.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I went through like all the movies and this is me scrolling.
That's if you have a touchscreen.
No, it was a scroll wheel.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Dinosaurs versus aliens. What is it? What's it about?
It's dinosaurs versus aliens. It's this.
Oh, that's the comic story. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the comic story. I liked it, except for the fact that what I didn't know about this is, one, it's short, and two, it's not the complete story.
Oh.
So, it's like you're reading, looking at all the pretty pictures, and then suddenly it's like, this is the end of part one. And I went online to try to find part two, and there's not a peep about part two, like when it would come out or anything.
Oh.
So.
And they're supposed
like
to be making
to be
a movie
hanging,
off of that.
Yeah.
Like, if you like to be left hanging, then I recommend checking this out.
When that book came out, when they first published that book, there was an app that came along with it, and I had the app. You could either use it by itself, or you could use it in conjunction with the book in some way.
Right. It's created by Barry Sonnenfeld. Well, I guess the idea was primarily from Barry Sonnenfeld, who was the director of Men in Black. And it was written by Grant Morrison, who does a lot of comic book stuff.
Yeah.
And they did this in such a way that, just think, people from Europe coming to America and basically battling it out with the Indians. There was a lot of conflict, and it's kind of the same thing, but with dinosaurs and aliens. And so they didn't expect for the dinosaurs to be as smart as they were, even though they seem somewhat primitive. The artwork is really, really good. And I took some pictures so people could see what the actual aliens are, so you guys could see what the aliens were, and anyone who happens to be watching the video. Let's see if I can do this.
If you're listening to the podcast, go to youtube.com/galacticnetcast and watch the video. And you'll see the pictures that Anessa is about to put up on the screen.
Yes. So here we have one of the aliens. Ooh, now, creepy. My complaint with the alien is the fact that it's really hard to tell the difference between one alien person from another. So there's a scene where there's about three or four of these aliens, and I don't know who is what. But it kind of reminds me a little bit of the Skitters.
Yeah.
Like the bottom half from the Skitters from Falling Skies.
Yep.
And then the top kind of reminds me of Predator, because he's got like the weird dreads and the shape of the head, kind of, sort of. But it's got like the big alien eyes. And these appear to be more insect-like,
yep.
But they have like weird tentacle things for arms, for anyone who's not listening. And their body, for some reason, makes me think of a spinal column.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
So you've got like the different vertebras, is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it looks like a mishmash of different species.
Yeah, it's like a mishmash of different things. And here's another one. So if you look, you can't really tell much of a difference between one from the other, because they both have like a couple of lines on this side, except for this guy over here, maybe, and then there's like one red line here. But basically, these aliens have been traveling forever, and they finally come across Earth, and they're just about out of fuel and whatnot, and so they land in hopes to find food and whatnot. And then they discover that there's already beings living on the planet, which would be the dinosaurs. Unfortunately, the pictures kind of rotated from when I sent them to myself. And since I'm just looking at them from the email, they're still... I took them in portrait, and now they're displayed in landscape. But the dinosaurs do have feathers, as well they should.
Yeah, I'm glad that they chose to go that route.
Right. And this is a raptor, I guess possibly a velociraptor of some sort.
Yeah, looks like it.
And it's very colorful. Very colorful. But they're really cool. And this was actually taken from, towards the back of the book, they have these basically artist sketchbooks. And they have, I forget the name of the more well-known person, or the person that they featured, the artist, Mukesh Singh.
Hmm.
I don't know.
I was going to say some of that looks like Jeff Darrow's work with the black and whites above the colorful raptor.
No,
yeah.
I think it looks
and
more
then
like...
after that, they just have like artist sketchbook, but they don't specify if it's the same artist or a different artist, because it just says Mukesh Singh for about 4 or 5 pages, and then it just says artist sketchbook on each page. So I guess they probably have different artists. And here is an interaction between a T-Rex and some of the raptors, velociraptors. But the T-Rexes and I forget the other type of dinosaur that's depicted, but they do have like war paint and they have headdresses.
Sweet.
So, which... honestly, like when I saw this, my first question was, how did the T-Rex get that on their head? Because they have such short arms.
They had some help.
They had to have some help. So yes. I'm just like, how did they do this with their like tiny little arms? Yeah, so there's a lot of like conflict between the dinosaurs, because you have a T-Rex trying to defend their family, and then you've got the raptors trying to feed on the eggs and whatnot. And in this picture, one of the raptors ends up succumbing or falling victim to the dinosaur. But the artwork is really, really neat. There's not a ton of dialogue. It's basically the imagery. At the end of the book, they feature excerpts from the pages of the script by Grant Morrison. So he's basically saying, this is what, you know, he imagines would be here, and then you would have this text here and this text there. And so I guess it's what he gave the artist to work with.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's actually pretty cool.
Where'd you pick this up at?
So, the internet.
Oh, okay. I've heard of it.
Well, because I tried to find it at the local comic book stores. I tried More Fun, and I tried Madness Comics. Sirens. And
they're coming to take you away.
But I tried the comic book stores on a couple of different occasions, because I know they always get like new things and whatnot, but I couldn't find it at the local comic book shop, and so eventually I just gave in and I went and I ordered it off of half.com. So that's where I ended up finding it.
All
but
right.
I'm sure they could find it at other places or maybe a local comic book shop. So, but like I said, it's not the complete story. It kind of it like leaves off right before the battle. So you don't actually, besides the initial encounters between dinosaurs and aliens and how the battle, like the conflict possibly got started. But beyond that, there's no interactions between the two. So you don't find out who wins, who loses. Nothing. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well, speaking of Grant Morrison and great sci-fi, I would recommend We Three or We Cubed. And it's Grant Morrison writing a story about three pets, a rabbit, a cat, and a dog, who are modified and given sort of brain upgrades to interact with a battle suit that they are put into.
Oh, cool. And, what an interesting concept.
That's actually on my list of things to read.
They escape the facility.
Nice.
And they... The tale is of they're going through the research phase and then, you know, escaping the facility and what happens while they're out and the end of the story. And it's really, really touching, very honest communication between the, you know, the three different animals, because the three animals aren't normally anything that would work together, but they do work together because they're all...
Yeah, they have a commonality.
In the same... Yeah. They have they're all in the same boat.
Yep.
Right.
And the writing and the art is really well done, and it is sci-fi, obviously. Grant Morrison and really, you know, granted it doesn't have anything to do with aliens, time-traveling robots, or space, but... No, it's a great sci-fi comic book. I would highly recommend.
Good recommendation. All right, so we are running super late. We're hitting the wall here with time-traveling robots in space. So we're going to put Jason's feedback on hold. We'll play it next week.
No!
Jason from Kansas, you'll tune in next time.
We totally have like a minute to do that.
It's a long voicemail. It's a long,
is it?
Yeah.
Oh,
how long is it?
Here, we'll just play it here.
Yay!
I succumb to peer pressure. So, let's see, where is it? Jason from Kansas. Ooh, I didn't put it on here. Hang on 1 second. Hey, while I do this, why don't you guys tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the podcast?
Oh, yes, you could totally go to galacticnetcasts.com and click on stuff.
Yeah, we actually have a link called stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, you can go to galacticnetcasts.com/contactsubscribe.html. And from there, you can actually subscribe to our mega feed. And basically, the mega feed means everything that we do. So you get... The Alien Invasion, Time Traveling Robots in Space. Whenever Sci-Fi Film School is not on hiatus, you'll get that too. Dave and his girlfriend Stephanie also do Closer Encounters.
Yeah, someday we'll bring it back. One of these days.
So it's like a seasonal special occasion show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, whenever it does come out, if you're interested and you're afraid you're going to miss it, then that comes out on the feed as well.
Yes.
So.
And I have an idea about a special that we should do. We should do a Doctor Who 50th anniversary special after it airs. Like a spoiler cast where we just go
crazy.
Yeah, we just go crazy about it. We just geek out.
Okay.
So we got to wait until November.
Yep.
November.
Also, to follow up with what you were saying, Anessa, you can go to iTunes, subscribe there, or you can find us on Stitcher Smart Radio as well. All right.
Yep.
It's true.
All right. So here is Jason from Kansas.
Hey, everybody. It's Jason from Kansas. Just wanted to call and say hey and tell you guys great job on the latest show, Alien Invasion. I think it was that one. I've listened to a bunch of them back to back recently, and one of them you were talking about Grand Theft Auto 5, which I have been totally tearing up as soon as I got it. I had it pre-ordered and everything, and I've heard about a bunch of the spoilers before it came out, of course. On the alien part of it, one of the Easter eggs, and I guess it's not really an Easter egg, but there's this part where one of the characters, Michael, takes his son to run an errand, and his son gives him a drink of something that has something in it. He gets drugged while he's driving, and he swerves to the side of the road, and his son kicks him out of the car and drives off, and he basically passes out, and he wakes up, and there's an alien spaceship hovering over him, and it sucks him up into it, and it shows these aliens that look almost like the ones you guys described, like the Xenomorphs, kind of, and it shows him doing stuff to him, looking at him, and all of a sudden they drop him out of the spaceship, like, miles above the city, and he falls, and it keeps falling, and he's flying around and stuff. You can control him as he's flying around, and then he just right before he hits the ground, he blacks out again. He wakes up in a park in his underwear and kind of, you know, groggy from the drugs and stuff. He has to ride a bicycle back home. He finds laying in the park. But another Easter egg. But, yeah, there's all kinds of neat stuff in that game. I've been playing the crap out of it when I can. But I thought that was pretty neat that you guys brought that up. That's one of my favorite series of games. That and another one called Uncharted, which... like Indiana Jones on steroids. But anyways, yeah. Another quick tip. Roly-polies, Dave, they are thick around here in Kansas. I've been all over Kansas and never been in a place in Kansas that I haven't seen roly-polies. They're just little guys. Just roll around into a ball. We used to group them up into a little pile when we were kids and like roll them into each other and watch which way they took off. It was pretty fun. Anyways, just wanted to drop that quick bit of information off to you guys. So y'all take it easy, and I'll catch you later.
Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, thank you.
More Easter eggs and...
Roly-polies.
Yeah, all right. Throw back to last week's episode. If you didn't listen, go back and listen, then listen to this one again.
Sweet.
All right.
It will all be clearer to
yes,
you then.
It'll all be made... You'll understand... You'll have clear eyes and full hearts or whatever. All right, that's going to do it for us. This has been the Alien Invasion podcast number 84. Thanks for joining us. Final thoughts, guys. Hello?
That totally threw
Who's
me off.
Who's going first? I'm going first.
I just see the song hanging out, and I'm like, I don't know what to think.
I was doing my Miley Cyrus impersonation. Okay.
For those of you guys not watching the video, we were all sticking our tongue out.
You gotta watch it. Come on. All right.
Okay. Final thoughts. You know, I the more we talk about it, the more I feel like I should be watching more of the '80s bad rewatching some of the bad '80s sci-fi alien based stuff. I've been doing, you know, when I've watched classic stuff, it's the '50s. But now I'm thinking maybe I should.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we should, you know, after we do the Doctor Who special at some point, you know, a couple months out, maybe do a special of 80s, do Attack of the 80s.
Yeah, that'd be fun. We did Attack of the 50s, so why not do the Attack of the 80s? Yeah, definitely. All right. Thank you, Brad. Anessa, what's your final thought?
I actually want to see what the reptilian gray color would be like. And if it's what I kind of imagined in my head... It might make for like a nice nail polish.
Yeah, it would. I think you're right.
So.
Yeah. All right, we'll work on that.
A new product line for Galactic Netcast.
Yeah, our store. We'll add that to the store soon.
Nail reptilian polish. Gray nail polish.
Yes. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.